Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Ryan Opez from Catavino. How are you, Ryan?
Good, very good.
Excellent. We're going to be talking about wine technology almost, in terms of social media and sharing tasting notes and all sorts of weird things. But do you want to tell us a wee bit about your relationship with Adega?
Adega.com is one of many social tasting note sites out there. I'd say it's one of the top three, being Cellar Tracker, Vinfolio, and Adega. Mm-hmm. My first experience was with Cellar Tracker, a social cellar place where you can place your cellar online, leave tasting notes, see what other people are tasting. And that was, 2004, maybe even earlier. And when I came to Spain, through some quirky social media connections, I ended up meeting Andre Ribeirinho from Adega, which is located in Lisbon, and he was developing a little bit more social of a version of what Cellar Tracker was. And I saw the potential. I didn't necessarily like everything I saw, but I thought, you know, this is a really, I like this a little bit more. It's a lot more social. It doesn't focus so much on the geek factor and more on the wine as a beverage. And so we started working with him on various projects, but now we're helping him to look at his site a little bit more socially, helping him to promote it some, and to promote the core technology at the root of Adega, which makes sure that their data is clean. It's called the AVIN. It's a unique code that they apply to every wine basically in the world or in their database. Mm-hmm. And the biggest problem with any wine industry list or database is data cleanliness.
Yeah.
Because as we know, German labels, nobody can spell other than, not even the Germans can, I don't believe. and, you know, with weird accents coming out of every country and wines coming out of Hungary with letters I don't even recognize.
Sure.
You can't do anything with that. And there's so often that you see wines being talked about as different when they're the same.
Mm-hmm. And probably very different tasting notes as well.
Exactly.
I think you gave me an example earlier. We were talking and you mentioned the same wine, exactly the same name,
yep.
Slightly different colored label.
Yeah, exactly. No, that happened when I was selling wine 7 years ago or so. There was a Parker Point wine and there was a variation of gray that separated the two labels. Because of that, and because one of them wasn't imported as heavily as the other, everyone assumed they were the same wine.
And they're different blends with different color.
Yeah, exactly.
Same name. Crazy.
Same name. So that, what we're doing is we created this number, which is a 13-digit number, preceded by the letters AVIN, through the avin.cc website, allow people to get an AVIN for their wine. It will be human verified to make sure that it actually matches the wine that they say it is. And at that point, when it is verified, that number will be locked down to that wine. And in the future, that means that we won't have these problems. The big step we're doing is convincing people it's a good idea and showing them how easy it is to do and how it can benefit their business. So here we're at Bibendum. Hopefully I can get Bibendum to listen to me and understand that if they add an AVIN to every wine in their portfolio, their retailers know exactly what wine's coming. Their consumers know exactly what wine's coming. Their producers make sure that they get the right wine when there's an order. All this is taken care of by this random number that is applied to. It's just like the ISBN for books.
Yeah.
And without that, the book trade couldn't function.
Sure, in, exactly.
It's amazing that the wine trade, which is even more complex at times when it comes to labeling, hasn't come up with something. And it's also frustrating that you have people saying, oh, that's a good idea. I think I'm going to create my own. And when this happened, we had some people say, we're going to create our own. And we said, look, we don't want ownership of this. We want it to be an open, free thing that everyone can take. And so we're separating it from the Adega code. And we're going to create a clean database on the avin.cc site that allows for everybody to contribute information to it without anybody owning it. And so that we all have the same data. And so that all that data is clean and correct. And we don't need to be partisan here. We don't need to own it. What we need is for people to use it. And we'll also, as a part of this, be giving, for the geeks out there, an open API, a tool for accessing that data and working with it on your own site, e-commerce, whatever. But in this way, we hope that we can convince more people to adopt it a very simple concept.
Yeah.
Very simple tool. It's a database.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it can really solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of problems with wine descriptions. And what about your QRs? That was that sort of funny square that...
The QR code.
The QR code, yeah. How does that relate to the AVEN code? And is there any more that I've got to worry about?
No. The AVEN existed, it will exist. One application for it, which we've done with a few of our clients, is there's a technology called a QR code, which is a Japanese 2D dimensional code. It's a square with a bunch of square dots on it.
It's a bit like a barcode, isn't it? But with
it's a square barcode, yeah. Yeah, it's a barcode of sorts. And the idea behind it, I've never been to Japan, but I have friends who've been there, and say you go into restaurants and there's QR codes everywhere for menus and things, and you can scan it and get your menu, make your order, whatever. What it is it's something that isn't locked to a database. It's an actual code. So you can encode any text you can imagine. Anything you can type, you can encode. If you were to put a book in, you'd end up with a very large QR code, but it is possible. So when I first saw it, I said, this makes so much sense on a wine label. You put it on the back of a wine label, and now there's free applications. You download to your phone, you scan the wine label, and boom, now you have information about this wine. And that information can be anything you want. What foods go with? Goes to a mobile website where there's interactivity, where there's a video with the winemaker. Whatever you can imagine, you can put in there.
I've seen these things, I've heard about them anyway, and I know about them being quite popular in Japan, but I haven't really seen them take off in Europe at all.
No, I mean, there are a few people playing with it outside of the wine industry. In the U.S. last year, Pepsi Cola did a huge campaign with it where you won a free trip to who knows where. So in that campaign, they got a lot of people to put them on their phones. Now, the technology to scan it. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, and I'm not saying it's ever going to happen, but I'm saying, why not think like that? What else can we do? I think it was Tesco just released a wine app that you take a picture of the wine label, and it tries to recognize it and does its best to tell you what that wine is and whether or not they sell it. That's great, but the level of technology to scan a wine label and read it is so much higher than a 2D code.
Yeah, yeah.
So... there's other practical applications. One example that we want to do actually with a wine show we're going to be doing is you could take and print out these codes for every wine at the show and put them next to the bottles, and people could take and you could hand out a scanner. People could scan and take notes about which wines they like.
Yep.
But take it a step further even. RFID chips are so cheap and expensive and tiny. You could apply neck hangers for every wine at a wine show with an RFID chip in it. And then with a simple USB dongle, you can take and walk by that same table, scan it over the bottle as a wine I want more information on. It automatically does two things. One, it sends information to the person standing there that this person wants more information about this wine. And it also marks it on your USB dongle, which plugs into your computer, so you can get more information at a later date. Technology is going to really change how we do all this stuff really fast. It's a matter of just thinking outside the box a little bit.
Looking forward maybe 2 years in the future, where do you see things being? Because it is in flux at the moment. There's a lot of balls in the air with a lot of different people.
Yeah. With wine and social media and all that, I think we're still in a playground phase where people are throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. I think in the next 2 years, you're going to see a lot more tightening up of ideas and ways to work with the online communities. I think you're also going to see a reduction in the number of communities. For instead of a lot of individual communities online, you'll find a few communities with interesting groups and activities going on within them. I mean, kind of like any neighborhood. So I think that's going to happen. You're going to see websites that in some places start to function. Hopefully a diminishing of flash in website design and more use of these social tools. My dream is to see more and more producers talking to consumers and not to critics. I always tell producers, critics ask for free samples and consumers pay for them. So who are we going to be talking to in the future? Hopefully the consumer. And talking to them honestly. That's where I really hope. I think the wine show is going to diminish too or change. I think we're seeing like London International Wine Fair, the big shows, Pro Wine. They're going to have to change or adapt. Last year, one of our reporters went to Vinexpo. He got there, and he got code to get into the free Wi-Fi. Took him forever. When he got on, they had blocked Twitter and Facebook, where this guy had gone for the sole purpose of tweeting every wine he tasted at the show. I mean, the amount of harm they did to an impossible beneficial image was incredible. I really hope they begin to see how you can't have a wine show without a good Wi-Fi setup. It's just not, doesn't make sense.
What about 3G?
3G is great, but you still have people traveling around the world. The best thing you could possibly do is if you have a bunch of international buyers or people coming, have at your door a place to rent 3G dongles or borrow phones or buy cards. Come up with a deal with, call Vodafone, say, hi, I'm doing an international conference. I got 5,000 people coming and I need a stack of, you know, 20 euro cards or pound cards.
Okay.
Make it a priority is what I'm saying.
Okay, Ryan. All right, we'll wrap it up there. We'll let you get back to some tasting.
All right, thank
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, mate.